You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Friday show of the Pronk Pop Show. Normally on Friday I have a long show, and I'm playing it by ear because I had some catching up to do. So it'll probably be at least a half an hour to an hour, and I might have a part two of it because it's going to cover the debate and my commentary on some of the answers to the questions that were presented on various issues that are the concerns of the American people. And I'll start out with this clip concerning government spending.
Gentlemen, I'll ask you some questions about federal spending and the role of the federal government. Everybody always says they want to cut federal spending, and usually they start by saying they'll cut waste, fraud, and abuse, but that really doesn't ever materialize. We all know that. Governor Christie, you talk a lot about entitlement reform, and you say that that's where the federal government can get savings needed to balance the budget. But can you name even one thing that the federal government does now that it should not do at all?
Yeah. You want one?
I want one.
Yeah. How about one that I've done in New Jersey for the last 6 years, and that's get rid of Planned Parenthood funding for the United States of America.
Anything bigger than that?
Bigger than that? Let me tell you something. When you see thousands upon thousands upon thousands of children being murdered in the womb, I can't think of anything bigger than that.
I like that answer, but because I'm very much pro-life, and Governor Christie was playing to the crowd because you have a lot of religious conservatives, social conservatives in the audience, evangelicals. But Christie is not going to win in Iowa. And his answer is a problem because there's no way you're going to balance the budget cutting the money for Planned Parenthood. I applaud it. And there are many in Congress that would vote for it. But I would have thought he would have, and he should have been challenged on this, and to a certain extent he was in terms of the size, but he had a quick comeback. Don't you have three or four or five agencies or departments, just Planned Parenthood? You see, he has a problem in New Jersey in terms of balancing the budget. So let's see what other questions in this area were asked.
Everyone on this stage opposes Obamacare, and you're not alone. Google data shows that in the last month, when people searched policy repeals, that there were a lot of them. Obamacare took the top two spots. But today there are millions of people who gained health insurance from Obamacare, and they now rely on it. So the question, Senator Cruz, if you repeal Obamacare, as you say you will, will you be fine if millions of those people don't have health insurance? And what is your specific plan for covering the uninsured?
Sure. Well, let's take it one at a time. First of all, we have seen now in 6 years of Obamacare that it's been a disaster. It is the biggest job killer in this country. Millions of Americans have lost their jobs, have been forced into part-time work, have lost their health insurance, have lost their doctors, have seen their premiums skyrocket. If I am elected president, we will repeal every word of Obamacare. Now, Once that is done, everyone agrees we need health care reform. It should follow the principles of expanding competition, empowering patients, and keeping government from getting in between us and our doctors. Three specific reforms that reflect those principles. Number one, we should allow people to purchase health insurance across state lines. That'll create a true 50-state national marketplace, which will drive down the cost of low-cost, catastrophic health insurance. Number two, we should expand health savings accounts so people can save in a tax-advantaged way for more routine health care needs. And number three, we should work to de-link health insurance from employment so if you lose your job, your health insurance goes with you, and it is personal, portable, and affordable. And I'll tell you, Brad, I think that's a much more attractive vision for health care than the Washington-driven, top-down Obamacare that is causing so many millions of people to hurt.
I agree with all of that answer. A matter of fact, he ticked off a number of things that I would add. But what's missing? What's missing from that list? Now, what does he want to do? He wants to expand competition, all for it. You can buy it cross-state. Terrific. But what's missing? Tort reform. Isn't that interesting? An attorney doesn't mention tort reform, especially an attorney that lives in Texas, where Texas has had tort reform. You see, the Democrats, they wouldn't go near tort reform. Why? The bar associations, as well as the litigators, don't want tort reform. And we need it, because that drives up the cost of medical care. Because it's not only the doctors have to pay for the malpractice insurance, but you have to pay for what they do to protect themselves against the lawsuit. In other words, order excessive tests. Ever go to a doctor and complain about something? Before you know it, there's a whole battery of tests that you have to take when the doctor, 9 times out of 10, knows what the problem is, but he's protecting himself, because if he ever got into a situation where he's sued, he could say, listen, I ran the test and the results show that this person didn't have the condition. Now, it's fine if you're very wealthy and can afford it, or have a outstanding health insurance plan that pays for everything. The people that get hurt here are the people that simply don't have a good plan, or a plan that doesn't cover the test. So I wish he had mentioned or added to it tort reform. There's a bigger problem here. I'm for repealing Obamacare, as well as replacing it. I think it's up to the Republicans, and by now they should have done this. Have a replacement ready to go and tell the people what that is. They're not doing it, and the candidates need to do it. Let's move on.
Governor Bush, you've advocated for statehood for Puerto Rico. The Puerto Rican economy is collapsing under unsustainable debt burden. Only about 1 million of its 4 million residents are currently employed. So should American citizens, who you say are already overtaxed, bail out Puerto Rico as well?
No, they shouldn't. And I believe that Puerto Rico ought to have the right of self-determination. If I was a Puerto Rican, I'd vote for statehood so that they have full citizenship. They serve in the military. They would have to pay federal taxes. They would accept the responsibilities of full U.S. citizenship. But they should have the right of self-determination. Before you get to that, though, Puerto Rico is going to have to deal with the structural problems they face. You know, it's a fact that if you can pay for $79 one-way ticket to Orlando and you can escape the challenges of a declining economy and high crime rates, you move to Orlando. And a lot of people are doing that, and this spiraling out of control requires Puerto Rico to make structural reforms. Federal government can play a role in allowing them to do that, but they should not. The process of statehood or the status of Puerto Rico won't be solved until we get to the bigger issue of how you deal with the structural economic problems they're facing right now.
I have really no views on Puerto Rico. I don't think it's big enough or important enough to have statehood, but we have smaller states. I think Delaware has a small population, and if you think about Alaska, yeah, it's a big state with a lot of natural resources, but there's only about 700,000 people there, and there are many states in terms of population that are smaller. Like I said, I haven't really thought about it, and I don't know why you'd waste time on it, quite frankly, other than you needed a question, and I think a softball question to Jeb Bush, because guess what? Most of the people don't know anything about it, don't care, and most of the other people on the stage are in the same situation. Again, this is a wasted opportunity. There are a lot more important questions that should have been asked. I don't know why they asked this question.
Kasich, you're one of two remaining sitting governors still in the race. Your colleague, Governor Rick Snyder in Michigan, is under fire, he and his administration, for the Flint, Michigan water crisis and the botched response to it. How would you have handled that?
Well, you got to be on top of it right away. And, you know, I don't know all the details of what Rick Snyder has done. I know there have been people who have been fired, people who are being held accountable. But the fact is, every single engine of government has to move when you see a crisis like that. And I've had many situations in the state of Ohio where we've had to move, whether it's storms, whether it was a horrible school shooting. There are many crises that come, a water crisis in Toledo. You've got to be on top of it. You've got to go the extra mile. You've got to work with local communities, and you've got to work with the federal government, because you realize that people are depending on you. And so you go the extra mile, but people have to be alert. They have to be alert to problems, and when you see a problem, you must act quickly to get on top of it. And people at home are saying they've got a problem, listen to them, because most of the time, they're absolutely correct. So the fact is that we work for the people don't work for us, and we have to have an attitude when we're in government of servanthood. That's what really matters. We serve you. You don't serve us. We listen to you, and then we act.
That was Governor of Ohio, John Kasich. He has been mentioned many times as the possible establishment candidate, and they very much need to carry Ohio. But he's not popular amongst the voter base for the simple reason he went along with the expansion of Medicaid in Ohio. And people are just not buying his argument. And see, at one time, I was a big fan of John Kasich when he was in Congress. Something happened when he became governor. I can't put my finger on it. So let's move on.
On the issue of climate change, in 2008, you wanted Florida to get ahead of other states and establish a cap and trade system, a program for carbon emissions, which many Republicans thought at the time would hurt the Florida economy. Now you're a skeptic of climate change science, and in fact you warn that federal efforts to fight climate change will cost U.S. jobs and hurt the U.S. economy. So why the change?
Well, Brett, first, that's not entirely the story. At the time, the liberal governor of Florida, who claimed he was a Republican, his name was Charlie Crist, he wanted to impose cap and trade on Florida, and I opposed him. I was the first person out of the box that opposed him on it. And then we saw that the leading candidates for president at the time, both the Republican and the Democrats, all supported it. And what we said is, if they're going to impose this on us, we better prepare to protect the state from it. But I have never supported cap and trade, and I never thought it was a good idea. And I was clear about that at the time. And I do not believe it's a good idea now. I do not believe that we have to destroy our economy in order to protect our environment. And especially with these programs they're asking us to pass that will do nothing to help the environment, but will be devastating for our economy. When I am president of the United States of America, there will never be any cap and trade in the United States.
That's nice to know, because I think the climate change, and I've given many shows on this, I'll just spend a moment on it. Cap and trade is a bad idea. It's just a tax. That's what it's all about. It'll increase your cost, electricity, gasoline. It's not a crisis, folks. There are many, many causes of climate change. Man is just one of many, and the others are much more important. We can't really control the climate. At best, we can do is adapt to it.
Coming up, immigration, and something you've never seen before.
And that's a good follow-up, because I was going to go to immigration. And you can't see the videos. What they did is, and I think they probably went to YouTube. I don't know where they got the videos. I suspect it was YouTube. And they played, and this is what I was alluding to in the previous show, and politicians better get smart on this. Politicians have a reputation, I think well deserved, saying one thing to one audience and then another audience say the opposite. In other words, they say what they think you want to hear. That's one problem. The other problem is, over time, they do change their positions. And today, a lot of YouTube videos have politicians, Democrats, Republicans across the board for many years now, and you can see, well, before you were for this, now you're for that. What changed? And let me play this segment.
Senator Cruz, when Senator Rubio proposed that bill creating a path to citizenship, you proposed an amendment.
Mm-hmm.
It would have allowed for legalization, but not citizenship. Yes, it would. Pressed last month on why you supported legalization, you claimed that you didn't, right? Like you just did. I saw that. You argued that this was just a poison pill amendment, basically something designed to kill the bill and not actually get it through. But that is not, however, how it sounded at the time. Watch.
I want this bill to be voted down. I don't want immigration reform to fail. I want immigration reform to pass. I believe if this amendment were to pass, the chances of this bill passing into law would increase dramatically.
I believe if the amendments I introduced were adopted, that the bill would pass. And my effort in introducing them was to find a solution that reflected common ground and that fixed the problem.
If the proponents of this bill actually demonstrate a commitment not to politics, not to campaigning all the time, but to actually fixing this problem, to finding a middle ground, that would fix the problem and also allow for those 11 million people who are here illegally a legal status with citizenship off the table.
Was that all an act? It was pretty convincing.
You know, the amendment you're talking about is one sentence. It's 38 words. Anyone can go online at tedcruz.org and read exactly what it said. In those 38 words, it said anyone here illegally is permanently ineligible for citizenship. It didn't say a word about legalization.
But the bill allowed both. The bill you were amending allowed citizenship and legalization.
But Megan, the bill was 1,000 pages. I introduced a series of amendments, each designed to fix problems in the bill. The fact that each amendment didn't fix every problem didn't mean that I supported the rest of the bill. And I'll tell you who supported my amendment. Jeff Sessions, the strongest opponent of amnesty in the United States Congress. And he did so because taking citizenship off the table was important, and it revealed the hypocrisy of the proponents of this bill who were looking for votes. Listen, we can solve immigration. We just heard an argument back and forth that we can't solve immigration. I have a detailed immigration plan that is on my website, tedcruz.org. It was designed with Iowa's own Congressman Steve King and Jeff Sessions, and we have the tools in federal law to do this now. We can build the fence. We can triple the border patrol. We can end sanctuary cities by cutting off funding to them. We can end welfare for those here illegally. And what is missing is the political will, because too many Democrats and sadly too many Republicans don't want to solve this problem. If I am elected president, we will secure the borders,
okay,
and we will end illegal immigration.
A couple of points, and I'm going to have a follow-up because Ted Cruz was on her show, and this is getting a lot of attention in talk radio because she seems, not seems, I think it's apparent once you hear the second part of this, when again, the audience was roughly, what, 13 million versus the first debate when there were upwards close to 24 million. The audience was less because Trump didn't show up. So Trump bet, and he bet right, that when he was not there, their ratings or their viewership would go down. But 13 million is still very, very good. It is. Typically, a show on Fox, what, a couple of million? 13 million is good. It's not 24 million, and I think Trump was trying to get it even higher than that. That's why he initially was hyping this, getting people's attention. But a couple of points here, and it's important to understand this and what's going on. And I suggest you, for a little bit more information, go to my last show, because I touched on this, and I don't want to repeat last show on the immigration portion. But you need to understand, the Democrats want all the illegal aliens that are currently here, and they will say it's 11 or 12 million. I'm saying, and other people, it's somewhere between 30 and 50 million. No one really knows. It's a lot more than 11 or 12 million. But the objective, the goals, the strategy of the Democratic Party, Chuck Schumer, the Gang of Eight, is to make all the illegal aliens, whatever that number is, it's not 11 or 12, it's more somewhere between 30 and 50 million, whatever the number is. Ultimately, they will get citizenship. However, they know that would not fly if you try to pass a law and the illegals, you reward illegal behavior by giving them citizenship. So they have a number of steps. And the same goes with amnesty. No one is for amnesty. Amnesty will kill it. So they played a game. One is legal status. Legal status means you can work here. In other words, you have what's called an EAD, an employment authorization document, commonly referred to a work permit. And if you have a work permit, you can work here. Doesn't mean you're going to get citizenship. That's true. But legal status means you can work here. And that means competing with American citizens that are here. In other words, the size of the labor force is much greater because of illegal aliens crossing over our borders or overstaying our visa. See, I'm against legal status as well as amnesty, and certainly not citizenship. But what the Democrats are doing is, well, first we'll give them legal status, then they'll have a pathway to citizenship. There's some requirements they have to meet, but ultimately they get citizenship. And in defense of Ted Cruz, before I criticize him, yeah, his amendment was a poison pill because the Democratic Party objective, as well as some of the Republicans, would give citizenship. And the Republicans play the same game. Oh, we'll give them legal status and a pathway to citizenship. Ultimately, they get citizenship. That's rewarding illegal behavior. That's rewarding people that don't follow our laws. We have a pathway to citizenship. It's called legal immigration. What I'm for, and Trump is ostensibly for, is enforcement of existing immigration law, which means if you're here, you will be deported. You will be removed and sent back to your country of origin. The way to enforce that is to go after the employers. In every town and city across this nation, if we had the people, the resources, we go after the employers. Why? Because that's the primary reason people come here, for jobs. A secondary reason is they have a baby, they're pregnant, have a baby in the United States. The baby, under existing law that really should be changed, because we're the only country that has this anchor baby nonsense. Other countries, one of the parents has to be a citizen. If an illegal alien comes in the country, pregnant, has a child, that child is still an illegal alien, and both the mother and the father, if he's here, as well as the child, should go back to their country of origin if we are enforcing existing law, and that is the law. However, the exception is the anchor baby. If they're born here, in other words, they don't bring a kid with them, they drop a baby, deliver a baby here. The baby is automatically a citizen. However, it's never gone to the Supreme Court. And I don't even think it has to go to the Supreme Court. I agree with Trump on this. It does have to be tested in the court, or Congress could pass a law. And like I'm saying, all other countries don't allow this. And Donald Trump makes the case. If, let's say you're 8 and a half months pregnant. You cross over the border, you sneak over the border, and you, let's say you go to Dallas. And then 2 weeks later, you go to Parkland Hospital, can't pay the bill, but you deliver the baby. The baby is considered, the phrase is anchor baby. Why is it an anchor baby? First, the baby gets citizenship under the existing interpretation of the U.S. Constitution. The problem is those amendments that that lawyers hang their hats at had nothing to do with immigration. It had everything to do with slavery. I'm not going to get into that, but my point here is you need to stop. The American people don't want amnesty. They don't want citizenship. If they understand what legal status is, they don't want that either. They want the current immigration laws in force. See, the game the Democrats are playing and the Republicans' leadership are playing will give them legal status, which means you can work here. You have an employment authorization document. It looks like a driver's license. And with that card, you can work here. And see, that's what Cruz, he's playing a little fast and loose with the facts. He favored that. Now, I agree with his amendment, but there's a problem, Senator. How many millions would be getting those work permits? Here's what you need to know. In states, including Texas and Florida, there are a lot of agriculture interests. Ranchers, farmers, orchards, and what do they hire? They hire a lot of illegal aliens. Now, some of them are guest workers. What Cruz wants to do is increase those numbers, as well as give legal status. Now, he's since somewhat changed his tune because he's learning as he runs, the American people don't want any part of this. The problem and the complaint of the American people is all these illegal aliens, and not 11 or 12 million, 30 to 50 million, and that happened over a period of 20 years, They never talk about the size of the problem. Never. Other than it's 11 or 12 million. We got to bring them out of the shadows. They need to self-deport. The way they self-deport, you go after the employers. Now, I want to play what is getting a lot of attention in talk radio, and that Megyn Kelly invited Ted Cruz, and Ted Cruz obviously agreed to appear on the Kelly File is the name of the show. I don't watch it because I don't have TV at home, so I don't watch TV. I get these clips off of YouTube, or if I happen to be in the newsroom, I'll see it. And I'm going to need to scroll and edit this. I'm pretty sure I know where it starts. It's not at the very beginning, but I'm going to be a little bit off, but let me start it here.
Let's talk about that immigration exchange that you and I had, because, well, let's play a clip, and then we'll get into it. Watch. Was that all an act? It was pretty convincing.
You know, the amendment you're talking about is one sentence. It's 38 words. Anyone can go online at tedcruz.org and read exactly what it said. In those 38 words, it said anyone here illegally is permanently ineligible for citizenship. It didn't say a word about legalization.
But the bill allowed both. The bill you were amending allowed citizenship and legalization.
But Megan, the bill was 1,000 pages. I introduced a series of amendments, each designed to fix problems in the bill. The fact that each amendment didn't fix every problem didn't mean that I supported the rest of the bill.
What I was trying to get at there was, you know, the bill offered both legalization and citizenship, and you tried to take away citizenship, which would have allowed legalization still. But, I mean, I look back at your record a lot to see, did Ted Cruz really want legalization or didn't he? I think the record supports you that you did not want it. That it really was a poison pill amendment. What I was trying to get to you was, it just seems weird for the average person to see, like, the acting when you're trying to sell it, saying, I want the bill to pass.
But, no, what I said is I want immigration reform to pass.
You also said the bill.
I didn't say I want the bill to pass. I promise you.
That was the very first soundbite we played, the very first one.
What I said is I want immigration reform to pass, and I've laid out on my website an 11-page, very, very detailed immigration plan that I would like to have passed. We've got to secure the borders. We've got to stop illegal immigration.
We're talking about people coming out of the shadows. It seems like acting.
Well, look, what I often do, particularly when debating Democrats, and I was debating Chuck Schumer there, is use the language of the Democrats to show their hypocrisy. Because you know what? Chuck Schumer and the Democrats talked about people coming out of the shadows, but it wasn't about that. It was about votes.
They were saying at the time that it wasn't about citizenship, and you were trying to put the lie to that. As I read your testimonials, that's how I read it.
That's exactly right. They said it was all about bringing people out of the shadows. And I said, well, great, then you should be happy to take citizenship off the table. And, of course, Chuck Schumer responded, if there is no citizenship, there is no reform. We'll kill the whole thing. And, you know, there's an old joke that the new politically correct term for illegal aliens is now undocumented Democrats. This was about votes, and that amendment laid that bare, and when the hypocrisy was shown to the American people, that's one of the reasons we were able to kill it. It's why Jeff Sessions said, if it wasn't for Cruz, he said if Ted wasn't there,
I looked at this for a long time, and I thought, is he lying about this poison pill thing? The record supports you that it was a poison pill. It's just, you know, the drama. Like, you are running on being outside the cartel. It seemed a little cartelly. You're playing the cartelly game.
But Megan, I don't think it is at all. When I campaigned for Senate, I said I was categorically opposed to amnesty. When I got to the Senate, I was categorically opposed to amnesty. And today, I'm categorically opposed to amnesty. You know what's interesting? In the Republican field, I am the only person on that stage, the only Republican running, who opposes amnesty, who opposes a pathway to citizenship. Marco Rubio and Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, all three of them support a pathway to citizenship. Right now, even Donald Trump, who uses a lot of tough language, says that we should send people home, but then let them back in and become citizens. That, as you know, is what's called touchback. The establishment Republicans, it's a form of amnesty, the Trump touchback, where they fly home, they touch the ground, and come back as citizens. I am the only Republican running who has consistently opposed amnesty every single day and will do so as president.
You do have a consistent record on that. I will give you that, Senator. We did look back on that.
Thank you very much.
A couple of points. Ted Cruz is a very bright fellow. Went to Princeton, was on the debate team, won prizes, went to Harvard Law, was a star at Harvard Law. He's a bright fellow. Hardworking, bright, ambitious, very good on his feet, very articulate. I think he's presented 9 cases at the Supreme Court. He's an excellent advocate litigator. But you need to be very, very careful because sometimes they get a little bit too smart. And let me click it off because I have a I'm against amnesty. So apparently is Ted Cruz. I'm against the pathway to citizenship. Apparently so is Ted Cruz. He's against citizenship. I'm against citizenship. Now there's a fourth piece here. That's legalization. Legalization, think it's a work permit. Legalization, it doesn't grant you citizenship because under his amendment, he's right, you can't get citizenship, and he opposes a pathway to citizenship, so do I. But legalization means you can work here. You need to be against all of these. And see, let me be fair to, I have four people on my list, and my biggest reservations concern their positions on illegal immigration, as well as legal, but the primary problem is the illegal. There's some problems with legal as well. All four are a little bit squishy, including Donald Trump, on immigration. You need to be against all four, as well as against anchor babies, which Donald Trump is. But then Ted Cruz mentions a very important point, and I'm glad he brought it up. And the name for it is touchback. And here's where Donald Trump is playing games. And I think when the American people wise up to what Trump is really about, Trump makes a big deal. So does Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, all the Republicans. We're going to secure the border. That's literally the first thing out of their mouths when immigrating. Oh, I want to secure the border. You need to pin them down on that. What are you for? Double fence, road, surveillance cameras, more personnel. The road has to be patrolled. Okay, let's assume they're perfect on securing the border. And they actually do it. And it's going to take years to do it. This is not overnight. Now, we've been hearing for years that they're going to secure the border. They just never do it. Doesn't mean they don't arrest or detain, or the technical term is apprehend people. It's trying to sneak in the country. They do. But like I've said on many, many, many shows, for every one they apprehend, 3 to 5 make it into the country. Yeah, one or two of those go back home, but you still, over time, have at least 3 out of 4 for every one that they apprehend stay here and work. And when you have 1 million apprehensions a year, and that's more or less the historical average, it has gone up and down, and it's definitely gone down under the Obama administration because they're not vigorously enforcing the law at the border. But if let's take the low number of 3 million per year. For 15 or 20 years, that's a lot of people. That's why it's not 11 or 12. That is never mentioned by any of these candidates, with the possible exception of Trump several years ago. They don't want to scare the American people, because if the American people knew the sheer size, the magnitude of the problem, they would be irate. Ted Cruz is right. He was trying to be, I think, what I would describe as too clever by half. And what I mean by that, he had 5 amendments. He gave you one of them. I wish he had discussed all of them, but he didn't have time on the show, so they only discussed the important one, citizenship. And he's right. No citizenship, the Democrats will not support it, because that is their objective. Like I said in the last show, the ultimate objective here is that every illegal alien that's here, whether it's 11 million or 50 million or 60 million, is everyone ultimately over a period of time becomes a citizen. Why? Because 2/3 to 3/4 will be voting for the Democrats. And he talked, and Ted Cruz said the joke. They're undocumented Democrats. And to pursue that strategy, what the Democrats want ultimately is everyone have citizenship. So they're not going to vote, and they voted down the amendment. And that is trying to smoke them out. And that's what it did. And once they saw that the Democrats wanted citizenship, that did kill the Gang of Eight. American people are not stupid. There are two wrinkles you got to understand. And let me summarize. You got to be against amnesty. You got to be against a pathway to citizenship. You got to be against legal status and obviously citizenship, and against anchor babies and none of this touchback nonsense. See, what Trump is saying, well, we'll build to secure the fence and all of them have to leave. You notice he never says for how long. But if they're legal, if they haven't committed any crimes, they've worked here a period of years, they can come back. They have to apply. Now, this is a very important point, and this is why you got to look at both illegal immigration or the illegal alien invasion, as I describe it, because that's exactly what it is. You have to look at legal immigration, because what is the Republican leadership trying to do, including the Gang of Eight? The goal is to legalize all these so they can get citizenship and come back and enter the country as immigrants. They want to increase the numbers from a million, a little over a million. It's a million plus the people that are working here as guest workers, H-1B visas. That's a wrinkle. Think of it as roughly, approximately a million plus. They want to increase that initially to 2 million and 3 million. Now, why do they want to do that? Over 10 years, at 2 million, that's 20 million. At 3 million, that's 30 million. It'll phase in. All the people that, for example, what Trump wants to do, send them back home, then they can reapply through our legal method of immigration, which I call a legal pathway to citizenship. And if we raise it by 2 or 3 million a year over a 10, 15, 20 year period, all the illegal aliens that are here will come back and ultimately get citizenship. That's the game the Republican Party leadership is playing. They're being very, very sneaky and dishonest and misleading. And you can't believe these politicians, even the four I'm recommending. That's why I have reservations about all four. What they're doing, ladies and gentlemen, the so-called political elitist establishment, is disregarding the will of the American people. The American people don't want 30 to 50 million illegal aliens being rewarded with citizenship either now or 5 years from now or 10 or 20 years from now. Nonsense. And remember, the historical average for over 100 years was 250,000 a year, not a million. See, the million legally is a little bit over 10 or 15 years. The American people were not demanding that. And one of the reasons, there are several reasons, by the way. I'm not blaming immigration on everything. But one of the reasons you have a stagnating economy with low growth rates, the historical trend in the United States in terms of the growth of real GDP, gross domestic product, the sale of final goods and services, and that's a measure of the overall performance of the economy, is between 3 and 3.5%, and that depends on when you start and when you end. But you, if you do it over decades, it falls somewhere in that range. And when you're coming out of a recession, you should have, if it was a good recovery, growth rates of 4, 5, 6%. Today, we got the news that in the advance estimate, and you need to be very careful with the advance estimate, was 0.7%. That's not good, folks. We're on the verge of another recession. Japan's in a recession. A number of the economies in Europe, most of Europe is in a recession. China is going in. Its growth rates are declining. We're on the verge of a new recession. Shouldn't surprise you, usually every 5 to 7 years, the U.S. economy goes into a recession. It varies. Sometimes it's longer than 7 years. Sometimes it's shorter. But the recovery began in July of 2009. So 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, that's 6 years. In July of 2016, that's 7 years. Am I predicting or forecasting a recession? No. But a number of corporations are showing lower earnings reports. The economy is slowing down. And we really won't know until really this time next year whether or not we're going to go into remember, the shorthand definition of a recession is two consecutive quarters of negative growth. 0.7 is still a positive number, not a good number. You need to wait to the second and third estimates that we'll have at the end of February and the end of March. And it could very well turn in the number a negative number. It could go slightly up. I have no idea what it's going to do. I think you want to push me, I'd say probably either stay where it's at or maybe a little bit lower. It could go below zero, which is negative growth. Then the $64,000 question is, what's going to happen in the first quarter? And we're a third of the way through. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't have any crystal ball. The economy is definitely slowing down. The good news is prices at the gasoline pump are going down, and that's like getting a pay raise. Oh, yeah, it does hurt people in the oil exploration industry, but it benefits all industries and consumers to the extent that their cost of driving their vehicles, their cars, their trucks, truck trailers goes down. That's good. That helps people. That's more money in your pocket to spend on other goods. And that's a result of really the Saudis opening up the spigot. They're really in a war with an undeclared war, not a hot war yet, with the Islamic Republic of Iran that has an abundance of oil and natural gas. But Saudi Arabia is turning on the spigot because they have the largest reserves of petroleum. And it's very cheap to produce. Yes, it hurts U.S. producers, but they're really aiming what they're doing, their strategy, at first the Islamic Republic, Iran, but also Russia. It hurts the high-cost producers of petroleum. Now, I thought Megyn Kelly was being a little two-faced here, a hypocrite. Now, I'll give her credit. She invited Ted Cruz on and told it, again, this show is right after the debate, that what he was doing was a poison pill. In other words, killing the law. But you got to be very, very careful of the words. The American people don't want citizenship for illegal aliens. They don't want amnesty for illegal aliens. They don't want legal status for illegal aliens. They don't want a pathway to citizenship for illegal aliens. They want immigration law enforced. I'm going to continue this show Monday and add to it. I just got the signal that I have to wrap it up, but I'm not entirely through. I probably have another 30 minutes of clips that I wanted to show. So with that, I'll play and close the show with America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com.